last time we looked at legislation and where do we legislate from, and our particular focus was on the mountain, understanding our position of authority, who we are in the realms of heaven, and how to engage that mountain and outwork it. And hopefully people have been practicing that and continuing to engage that. But I want to sort of focus today more on the where do we get legislation from in its basic form, a mandate, a blueprint, daily direction, authorization, where is that? How do we engage it? We experienced some of it the last few times, but I want to go into it in a little bit more depth today, particularly in looking at going back into God's heart in eternity, because that's what I've found is the deepest place of receiving in our spirit. Zechariah 3:7, we looked at having governing the house, and now we're going to look at having charge of the courts and access to stand in God. So we can rule the house, but we need to access the presence of God in a deeper way. So we have access to the different courts of heaven. When we're on our mountain, we have access to the court of war, the court of angels, and we've always got access to the mobile court to convene that. And so we'll also later on hopefully engage a little bit around that if we've got time. The Joshua generation, which I believe God is calling us to be, operates according to the order of Melchizedek. And that order is a heavenly order. We are operating as forerunners of that, as heavenly royal priests. Now, that means we're learning. We're accessing in and taking ground as we go. There aren't too many things out there to give us complete direction in this, so we're having to learn as we go. But we're learning to engage our heavenly positions of government, to rule and legislate, but really, really importantly, make sure it comes out of intimacy and relationship. Don't get drawn into just legislating things without engaging in intimacy, because intimacy is the absolute key in everything. It flows out of that place of engaging God and His heart and knowing Him and knowing ourselves in relationship to Him. Hebrews 6:19, this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil. Now that hope is Jesus Himself. And the fact of what He's done on the cross, He has entered within the veil where effectively He is a forerunner for us. He's entered as a forerunner for us, which means He has gone before so we can follow, having become a high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. He is not Melchizedek. This is not about Melchizedek in essence. It's about the order of Melchizedek and that governmental order. And He wants us to understand and engage that. So Hebrews 7:1, Melchizedek was a king of Salem and a priest of the Most High God. So this is a kingly, priestly, that royal priesthood function. First of all, by translation of his name, King of Righteousness. So it's to do with the righteousness aspect of God's kingdom, and then also King of Salem, which is the King of Peace, without father, mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days or end of life. Now that describes us from an eternal perspective of how we were created in the heart of God. It describes our spirit being created without genealogy. But we obviously have a physical genealogy that our spirit has come into. So our spirit has neither beginning of days or end of life from an eternal perspective. We are made like the Son of God in His image. And He remains a priest perpetually. So this is not something which is going to end. This is going to be something which on into eternity that we engage and operate in. So understanding the order of Melchizedek and engaging it is important. Hebrews 10:19, therefore, brethren, since we have confidence, and this is important, everything that the enemy seeks to do is to undermine our confidence that we can access. And he will use guilt, shame, condemnation, and every other thing. Every familiar spirit is designed to undermine our confidence. But we have confidence. Why have we got confidence? We have confidence to enter the holy place because of the blood of Jesus. It's because Jesus has already defeated the enemy and overcome everything, taken back the keys of death and hell through what he did on the cross. And now we can enter the holy place. We can go in by a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil. That is his flesh. We don't have to go in the way they used to go in. Although we still have access to the ancient paths, we can access through a new and living way. The door is open. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near. And we can draw near with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith. And this is really important that we get hold of this. This is our right as sons of God to come through this veil and to access this holy place. Because we have now a much more better covenant. Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant, a new covenant. All the old covenant is summed up and fulfilled. All the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ. Every covenant is now realized in the new covenant fully. And therefore we have access. The new covenant means that all of us can access heaven. This order is open for all of us. Now, what is in the Holy of Holies? Well, it's the Ark. And that's our focus, the focus of the Ark of the presence of God. That Ark was obviously on earth, patterned after the heavenly one. And in reality, that represented the cherubim that covered over God's presence. And we know that one of those cherubim left his place. So I like to think of it as I'm coming to form an ark of agreement, looking into and engaging with the presence of God because I come and stand in that place. Hebrews 9:3, behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which was called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense, the ark of the covenant covered on all sides with gold, in which was a golden jar holding the manna, Aaron's rod which budded, and the tables of the covenant, and above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat. So we have access to that. And when I first began to engage this, God has taken me on a journey, and I've gone deeper and deeper into it, because I couldn't have coped with what I'm now doing 5 years ago. But 5 years ago, this was where I went to get and understand the will of God for my life every day. I wanted to know, God, what do you want me to do? If I'm going to be like Jesus, then I need to see what the Father's doing, so I'm going to come here to see what you're doing. And so I engaged with these three symbols. And so the first symbol, the manna, bread of life, is about the will of God. I wanted to come and understand God's will for me today so I could be obedient. John 4:32, Jesus said, I have food to eat that you do not know about. And that food was represented by that manna. Verse 34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. So when we engage the will of God and we embrace it as this is my food, this is my sustenance, this is what will bring me complete satisfaction, fulfillment, this will enable me to accomplish all that I'm designed to do by aligning myself with this will, coming into agreement and therefore being empowered by that, then it changes my whole perspective. And so this is what I used to do. I would come and stand there, engage with that. My food is to do your will. I want to know your will. I eat that food. You know, and John 6:27 actually says, do not work for the food which perishes. So there is things that we can get on the earth, and Jesus talked about it, you know, doing your good works before men so that they will see it. That will only give you something on the earth, and it will not last eternally. But work for what? The food which endures to eternal life. That which essentially produces gold, silver, and precious stones on our scroll and aligns with our eternal destiny, that is what this food's about. That is what the will of God is. And when I present myself as a living sacrifice, it is so that I can know this food, this will. And then we have the tablets, the word of God, his heart, is written on our hearts, on our spirits. Jeremiah 31:33, I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So when we come, we open up our hearts, it's so that he can unveil that onto us, so that we can see what the Father's doing, so we can engage and be drawn, and the desires of our heart will draw us towards what the Father's doing, that we can recognize around us the fingerprints of God. We can see his hand on things, and we can cooperate and agree with it, because our spirit and our heart is just aligned with God's will and purpose. Hebrews 10:7, then I said, behold, I have come, in the scroll of the book it is written of me. And this is Jesus. And you can also see it in terms of Isaiah talking about, here I am, presenting himself to the will of God. But Jesus had a scroll. We have a scroll. We have a scroll of the book, and it is written of us to do his will. What is his will is on that book. It's in that scroll. Now, God is not going to show you the whole scroll so you can try and figure out how to do it. He wants you to have intimacy and relationship with him, and out of that will flow, and your heart will draw you. Hebrews 10:16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. This is the new covenant. I will put my laws upon their heart, and upon their mind I will write them. And in Christ, we are in that new covenant. Christ made the covenant with God, and we're now in it, in him. And we have access to his heart and his mind, so that our heart and our mind can be aligned with his, which is what we do when we come around the presence of God in the ark. And then, of course, you have Aaron's rod, governmental authority, the anointing, the power, representing that power to act, so that we can see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, that we get to administrate it using the authority, because we have the will and we have the desire in our heart to serve the purposes of God, and we can then begin to administer that kingdom authority, that government. That's what we do from our mountain, from our thrones. We take what we've received there, and this is what I used to do every day. I would go, get the will of God, take it to my mountain, administrate it, and then have a mandate for whatever I needed to do that day. Now, a picture of coming before the ark goes beyond just what's in the ark. And initially, you know, I've learned this in progressive order, because if I just did this in the beginning, I would not have been able to contain it at that time. And in reality, God doesn't show up there as Father, Son, and Spirit, not in my understanding, as this picture shows. It's like the four faces of God manifest. God's governmental order, the order of Melchizedek, manifests there. Because this is about where we come to engage in his will. It's where we come to engage in the governmental aspects of the revelation of who we are and what we're called to do. So we have that picture of lion, ox, eagle, man. And this is what the next aspect that I was drawn to. And I had this revelation of being able to engage in the four faces of God. And it became this pattern of life for me. It was like the rhythm of life, the breath of life. I would go in, I would come out, I would go in, I would look in, I would speak out. Everything about it, it's like God breathed into man, Adam, the breath of life, and then Adam framed his world by breathing out, by speaking out. And even, you know, if you listen to someone breathing, it even sounds like, hey, yod, hey, vav, in that way. Because it's already in us, and we speak it out as a king, and then we breathe it in as a prophet, and we speak it out as an apostle, and we breathe it in as a priest. So we can look in and then speak out. We can engage. And this is what I began to do, recognizing the name of God, that I was in the presence of the name of God, and I was looking to see things from those different perspectives, from the lion, the ox, the eagle, and man. So that's what I started to do next, to look. And I began to engage with what the Father was doing there from those governmental perspectives, looking into the four faces of God, being drawn. Usually it was for the eagle to me to start with, but now it's embracing all those four faces, looking into the very name of God, that yod, hey, vav, hey. And I would begin to sing that and speak it and focus on it and be drawn so that I would engage it. The lion, the ox, the eagle, the man. And I had encounters with each of them in different ways. And I began to understand that this was how the kingly, prophetic, apostolic, priestly functions of the order of Melchizedek in government. Because before this, I was really looking about, well, what is God's will for me today? Rather than, how can I administrate his government in heaven and on the earth? So it took me into a deeper perspective. And you have, obviously, the Hebrew of that written from right to left. And so you have Yod, that little symbol, is a symbol of the hand and denotes power and figuratively ownership, and it represents the Father. And then you have the hay, represents gentleness, means behold, to show or to reveal, and represents the Holy Spirit. And this was a picture language which brought a symbolism of something for us. And then you have the vav, which represents a nail or a peg or a hook, conveys the meaning of being nailed and bound together in unity and oneness, and has significance, obviously, about the cross. And hey, divine breath, revelation, light, representing God's creative power, the living word of God, Jesus, the Son. And so I began to engage in a deeper understanding. And while I was doing this, in my own spirit, opening my first love gate, I began to go deeper and deeper and step into the name and embrace the Father, Son, and Spirit there. And it was part of this process of going intimate, deeper and deeper in revelation of knowing God by a person experience. And if you read that in English from right to left, it's behold the nail, behold the hand, or behold the nailed hand. And that is, there's a significant thing. This is all held together by this new and living way, by the cross, by the sacrifice of Jesus, by him becoming a high priest for us after the order of Melchizedek, through the sacrifice of his life, and then our sacrifice. When we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, then we begin to engage in this in a deeper way. So we can look into the manifest presence of God, his glory, see the will and purpose of God for our lives, resonate, align ourselves to his will, our hearts draw us, the desires change towards his will and our destiny. So we receive that mandate, that authority to rule and bring government. Our destiny scroll gets revealed, unveiled bit by bit to our heart, which then empowers us and draws us. The desires of our heart literally get transformed as we're looking and beholding and becoming like that which we behold, aligned to lion, ox, eagle, man, reflecting that and carrying the scepter, the rod of authority. Psalm 45:6, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom, because we must operate in righteousness, in love, if we're going to administrate justice in any way and bring judgment. And it isn't just a passive thing. You know, the lion, ox, eagle, man aren't just sort of there. The lion often roars. You know, there's a cry that comes out from the man at times. And the eagle shrieks, and the ox snorts. You know, this is a very active engagement. It's a very living process. And when we then take the next step of engaging, we can be active in that process. So we can begin to frame our world from that which we've received, from each mandate. We have the right then to breathe out in a kingly fashion, or engage in an apostolic, governmental, legislative fashion. So we become the representation of the four faces of God on the earth. We act as kings and priests. We speak prophetically. We administer apostolically. And then there's another level. And, you know, I spent a year or so engaging in Yod, Hey, Vav, Hey, and then I went deeper. And I was then drawn to step into the manifest presence and glory of God. So I stepped in, and then I begin to see from that perspective. I could see out. So I could look through the eyes of the lion, or the ox, or the eagle, or the man, and I could speak from that place. And I was speaking from the revelation of that heavenly perspective of godly order and government. And it began to change how I would speak, how I would decree, how I would declare, because we're now in his name. And we know, you know, Ian Clayton talks about this, you know, Yod, Hey, Shin, Vav, Hey, that we're now in his name, that he's put man in his name and incorporated us in his government, which is exactly what he's done. You know, there's 12 is the number of full apostolic government, which is the 3, 3, 3 of God and the 3 of man forming 12. And now we have the power of his attorney to act on his behalf because we're in his name. It obviously isn't just something we use on an end of a prayer. It's something we stand in and have the authority to speak in that name. So in him, we're now in the omnipresent God, and we're now have access to engage the eternal destiny of God in what was. So we can engage his heart. And I found that I just began to stand in him, and I was functioning in that place of speaking out and decreeing, but then I was drawn deeper, and I realized, you know, there is an ancient path that's still available for us to walk. And we can walk back into his heart in eternity. And we can stand in that place of his heart in eternity. Proverbs 4:5 talks about acquiring wisdom, acquire understanding. And it talks about with all your acquiring, get understanding. And it talks there about wisdom and how wisdom's important. And we'll engage wisdom in another session. But there is something about being in him which is very different from being outside looking in. So there's a shift from knowledge that comes from externally engaging God to standing inside and learning from being in him. And this is a very much a spiritual engagement. It's not something you can try and do with your mind, engage your reason, try and work it out. You have to receive it spiritually by standing in it and knowing God from that deep being in him. Moving from looking at God from an eternal perspective to stepping into him in a daily engagement of being in him in eternity. Where literally our spiritual understanding is increased as we stand within God's heart, we engage all the vast sum of his thoughts. And he has an amazing sum of thoughts which are firing around us when we stand there. We absorb the way, the truth, the life that's within him in our eternal place. It's like we step outside of time and space into his eternity in his heart, literally back into the womb of his creative thoughts, where we were created, where he first thought about us, where his thoughts then were released. Yeah, there is no sin there. And it's so important to realize that as a priest, we have access into that place where there is no sin. We can learn to see from that eternal perspective from the beginning. This is literally from the beginning. We think of the beginning being time and day one, and it will end whenever day it is. But actually, the real beginning is in eternity, and it still exists. And God's perspective hasn't changed. Our perspective has been tainted by sin and the world we live in. So when we step back into this place, our spirit can engage where there is no sin. And therefore, it has such a greater capacity to be able to receive that revelation. So we can see the end from the beginning. Not that the end is fixed, because we're actually looking to bring the end from the beginning. Because we've received it not as a prophetic word of the future, but we've received it into our spirit so that we carry the beginning and therefore we carry the end within us, and we have the capacity to outwork that and administrate it and establish it and create it. So we have this picture of infinity or the covenant sign of walking through. That's why the middle is the new covenant of the cross, the blood of Jesus, what is, and we can engage what is, stepping into and stepping into him, and we step outside of what is and we walk back into what was. And as we stand in what was, in his heart, we're looking forward, facing what will be. But you cannot see what will be in that way. You carry what was, and as you then walk back into what is, changed and transformed by what you've received in what was, you will create what will be. You will walk it out, and therefore you being changed and transformed by what was will establish what will be. And that will become history. And you will have changed the future to align with God's eternal purpose for it. And that's our role in this. So we can begin to see ourselves from his eternal perspective, light beings. And that's what it's like. That's my experience of his heart. It is like being in this amazing place of light and energy and thought and all those wonderful vast thoughts. That where we were constructed from the very desires of his heart, framed in his thoughts and spoken into existence, we're going home. We're going back to that place where we first were thought of in his very heart. And we can begin to feel and sense our eternal identity there. And we then can become what we see and feel and perceive in our spirit, because our soul, when we carry that frequency and this light and revelation within our spirit, and we engage our soul, our soul comes into alignment with that higher power, force, eternal identity. It's not that we're trying to make our soul align. Our soul aligns automatically when we bring that frequency close enough to it to enable it to come into a resonance with it. So then we can choose to act from the revelation to frame our lives, to bring that will and purpose into existence. As we see the end from the beginning, we can then begin to call things that be not as if they are. We bring release that creative ability that we have in God as a son of God made in his image to release creativity, just as animal God gave Adam the ability to name the animals and the authority to name the animals and release the creativity. You know, that's what we can do. We can begin to create things. You know, I've created things in heaven. Things have been birthed out of my spirit. The very first time I did it, you know, I was sat down with Jesus talking, and he was whittling a piece of wood. He put it on the floor and it just turned into a horse and walked off. And I was just like, whoa. And he said, laughed and just said, everything's living here. What do you want to create? And immediately a thought came into my mind. I want to create a bird. What sort of bird? And immediately I had this picture, a thought of the colors of the feathers and the tail and the blue and the yellow and the plume on its head being rainbow. And immediately I'd thought it, it existed. You know, now I've done other creative things. It's not a big thing, but it's something which I think comes from that desire, the Holy Spirit's creativity in us. We align ourselves with his will and purpose, and we begin to outwork our destiny. You know, we have the authority as an oracle, carrying the oracles of eternity, to decree and declare and prophesy. And this statement, I think, you know, sums it up. It's a bit of a mouthful, but if you can get your head around it, in a sense, or get your spirit around it more likely, you know, we can decree and declare and prophesy what will be, from what was, in the what is, to change what will be, to reflect what was. And this is this pattern of walking it out in this eternal path, standing in what is, going into what was, coming into what is, bringing what will be to reflect what was. That is what we're called to do, to legislate and administrate. So we can stand looking in, bringing out, stepping in, going back into eternity, and we begin to roar and speak and decree and declare, or take it to our mountains. You know, we need to embrace our mountain, take it to our mountain, and then we can bring this alignment between heaven and earth. We carry this sound, this frequency, this shape of heaven. And therefore, as a priest and a king, after the order of Melchizedek, in that heavenly realm, we form an ark. We agree with what was, in what is. And then we can administrate that on the earth with the apostolic and prophetic government to reflect heaven on earth, to be a reflection of heaven on earth, to create a reflection of heaven on earth, to establish the government of heaven on earth through our lives as a gateway, because we have embraced who we are and who he is. And then this is something we can learn to do every day. And you know, my spirit is so enlarged by just standing in that place and just absorbing it and releasing it. And I record everything I do there. You know, I write it out, and I look back and I reflect on some of the things I've said and some of the things I've spoken, some of the things I've creatively released. And I just allow my spirit to do it, and I flow in it, not trying to work it out in the soul. And then when we're then looking to establish blueprints and government and cities of refuge and ecclesias, we follow the same process. You know, we can take it back, take whatever blueprint back into eternity and see it from a whole different perspective. See its eternal aspects, see how we work it. So again, we become, as the priest and the king, forming an agreement that releases that blueprint that God shines his light on, that ark forms and the shadow forms on the earth, and then in the apostolic and prophetic we form foundations of government to release things to fill that shadow. When we begin to engage in benches of three and or governmental authority to legislate those things. And all this is because he has given us access to be in him and to engage in who he is and who we are and to really know ourselves from that perspective. And once we're recognized in that place, and heaven recognizes our position, and we go to our mountain and we sit on our throne. Literally the whole canopy of angels overshadows us and is over us, around us dimensionally. The Ishim, the Cherubim, the Benai Elohim, the Elohim, Malachim, Seraphim, Kashmelim, Erelim, Ophanim, Chaoth. All those angels are around us, and we can actually engage that angelic canopy. We can go into those spheres, those dimensions around us, and experience what goes on and interact with those angels and understand how they function and learn to administrate with them. And, you know, I would start off with the Chaoth, if I was you, and engage with Metatron and the Keykeeper and the Timekeeper and the Seasons, and learn to engage with the living creatures, you know, the fiery swords and the wonderful angelic ladders and all the different things that are there, you know. But explore, you know, explore this realm. When you go to your mountain, don't just sit there. You know, interact with that which is around you, and this angelic canopy surrounds you in that place. And then you have access to the different courts. You know, if you receive a mandate, take it to the court of angels. You know, when you're on your mountain, doors open. You can access into those places. You know, you can go to get counsel and strategy for outworking what you've been called to do. You know, and as we then learn to progress to establish legislation, we can engage the Chancellor's Court and other things. So I want to encourage you to, by faith, to access this today. We're going to engage in an exercise. I would, again, you know, encourage you to just begin to relax. You may want to turn your cameras off and just hide behind your avatars, just feel free to engage this. You know, in this exercise, again, you know, what I would encourage you to do is allow Jesus to lead you. If he wants you to stay in a particular place or go to a different place, fine, go. You know, just let your spirit be led with his spirit to direct what you do. You know, if you want to stay in a particular place and that's where you feel you want to be, great, just go with that. Don't get all head up, we're going to move on. You know, I'm just going to go through the process of flowing through it, but you just embrace it in your own heart. So begin to think about that ladder, the fact that we've been called and have access. Just open the eyes of your heart and begin to engage that. That door is standing open in heaven. That ladder goes from heaven to earth. We've been invited to come up here. So just take a step of faith and walk up those steps. Step through the veil. It's open. And step into the realm of his kingdom. Jesus is standing in the doorway. He's waiting for us, our high priest, after the order of Melchizedek. Jesus, we just present ourselves before you, our high priest. We engage the cross, the way, through that veil, exchanging the old for the new, exchanging everything in life and abundance. And we stand in our righteousness, robed with fresh robes. And as we come today, we surrender our will, our free will, to yours. We willingly take up the cross and embrace it and follow you. We stand being crucified, having been crucified with you. That we no longer live for ourselves, but we live in oneness and in unity with you, one spirit. And I would ask, Jesus, that you would take each person and lead them in intimacy, deeper into you, deeper into the Father's heart. That you would take us through the veils of the way and the truth and the life. To come into the Holy of Holies and to stand before your presence. And our desire as we come is to seek your will, that our food would be to do your will and to outwork your purpose. And we open our hearts and ask that you would write, unveil, reveal our destiny. That you would give each person a mandate and authorization today to take back into your heart in eternity. Just release that authorization as we stand thinking about your name, the Yod, He, Vav, He, focusing our attention on you as your presence manifests as a lion, the ox, the eagle, the man. We just stand gazing in awe and wonder, drawn to your presence. Take that step of faith and step into your presence. We step into you. Standing in you, in your name, in your authority. Looking out at our life, our spheres of government, from the aspect of the order of Melchizedek, lion, ox, eagle, or man, seeing from heaven. We just stand here in you. As we stand outside of time and space, Jesus, I ask that you would take each person, lead them back along that ancient pathway, back into eternity. Standing within your very heart, but our spirit conscious where we are, of who we are, beginning to engage your heart of love, our spirit receiving revelational reality of who we really are, of who you really are, the vast sum of your thoughts about us, surrounding us, enveloping us, light, sound, frequency, energy, all around us, standing in our eternal pattern, in our eternal identity, we stand. As we look forward, we stand in what was. Just let your spirit be filled, absorbed in the reality of the beginning. Your beginning, beginning of this day. As you see yourself, feel yourself, sense yourself, who you really are as a son of God, allow that empowerment to fill you. Just let your spirit lead. You may want to speak, declare, go deeper, let the desire draw you. And if you feel led, you can walk back into what is, coming back in Him, standing, empowered, and mandated for your life and for this day and how your destiny is to be outworked. Seeing out, speaking out, lion, ox, eagle, or man. In His name. You can take your mandate of what was authorized and empowered, and you can stand on your mountain, take your place on your throne, and let your spirit release that authority. The angelic canopy above you, recognizing your position. If you feel led, engage the canopy of angels. Step into that place. Feel you want to go to the court of angels, taking a scroll or your mandate and get assignments, or go to the court of strategy. Just allow your spirit to direct and lead. As you're seated in a place of rest, in a place of dominion and government, just let your spirit lead. Administrate, legislate, release what was into what is, to frame your day so that what will be in alignment with what was, that the end and the beginning will meet in agreement. You've received, just ensure that you plant it within the garden of your heart as a seed of a testimony, your anchor and your place of re-engagement, the doorway back, the testimony that you can give to others. Just cultivate and tend the garden of your heart, that heaven and earth would meet. The river of life would flow. Now we just take a faith step. If you want to stay where you are, feel free to do that. For those who want to step out, then we can just withdraw by faith and step back into this realm. Bringing with us all that we've received, carrying with us God's heart and God's desire to live from that place of government and rest and peace. Okay. Well, we've got a few minutes left. If there's anyone who wants to ask anything, feel free to do that. Or if you just want to continue to engage, feel free to do that as well. You know, this is a place where, you know, over the last few years, you know, I've gone deeper and deeper, and it's made such a difference in how I do things, you know, from that eternal perspective. It's not something I can explain. You have to sort of do it, but it just, you carry what was in a way that just looking in from the outside doesn't match too. So God is always drawing us deeper and deeper and deeper into Him. In these encounters, you know, the reason I don't describe things that I'm seeing is because I don't want to put ideas into your mind. I want you to engage and find how God relates to each of you in it, and the things that you experience will be specific for you. And you know, they'll all have significance. And if you didn't really receive an awful lot in your mind or in a visual sense, you know, don't be disappointed. Allow your, because your spirit will have received, even if you don't understand it, or most of what I receive I don't understand, because I've stopped trying to understand. I don't need to understand, because I trust. And then I find I'm doing things and saying things and operating in things because I've stood in that place and I carry it. It's who I am, you know, and that's changed how I do a lot of things. So just keep with it. You know, this is something you can do every day. You know, you have access into His heart every day. You can stand in what was every day. You know, as a son, you can administrate and frame every day of your life. You don't have to be subject to the things around you once you're engaging in this sort of level of government. So it's great.